Today, after focusing last week on Easter, we're coming back to the series that we've been in now for some time. I think this is a 22nd specific encounter that we have focused on during Jesus' ministry. And as we do each week, as we look at a different encounter he had, we remind ourselves that every single person made in the image of God is a spiritual being. You will not find fulfillment, purpose, joy, ultimate joy in life, if you don't have a spiritual void filled in your heart. You are not just a material being. So every person is spiritual. Every person is sinful. Every person you meet, no matter how sweet they may look and kind-hearted they may appear, I promise you they are sinful beings by nature because of the fall of mankind in Genesis chapter 3. But the good news is with the gospel, although we are spiritual people and sinful beings, every single individual is savable, is redeemable. And I don't think there's anybody who's gone so far that God's hand cannot reach down and radically change their lives. So with that introduction, as we've looked at each week, we're going to look at a very familiar encounter today, and it is the individual who is named Zacchaeus. Now, the story of Zacchaeus, for a little trivia note for you, is in Luke chapter 19. And the story of Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus is found only in the gospel that the Holy Spirit led Luke to write. So if you are on Jeopardy and a question arises regarding the account of Zacchaeus, and you may know something about the dude that went up a tree and all that, you better not answer. It's found in the book of John. Don't answer, it's found in Matthew, it's found in Mark. No, no, no. Because if I'm able to, I'll come back and haunt you. It's not found in Matthew, Mark, or John. It's only found in Luke. And it's in chapter 19 that Luke gives us the encounter Jesus had with this man that we're so familiar with, who is named Zacchaeus. So in Luke and chapter 19, as we look at the story, I also want to tell you that Jesus is on his way to the cross. As Luke concludes the gospel account, we're getting very near the crucifixion. We're getting very near the arrest, the trial, betrayal, crucifixion, all of that. Now, a couple weeks ago, I think we looked at the rich young ruler, and that too is right before Jesus is headed to the cross. But between even him and the cross, there's a couple more encounters we're going to have. And one of those is this one named Zacchaeus. So as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, all the events of the cross, he comes across this fellow, and it's a very interesting story. There's no other story like it in the Bible. Very unique, and yet people are very familiar with it. It's kind of what I call a Sunday school story. If you did grow up in church, a lot of times in Sunday school, you've got your little image there of Zacchaeus, maybe your little boards with your little stickers or pieces of flannel that you put on there for the tree and Zacchaeus and all that stuff. So you're familiar with it. But we're going to look at this today, first 10 verses of chapter 19. And as we do so, I'm going to give you several words that describe Zacchaeus. And the first one I'm going to give you, you're probably not going to agree with based on your understanding of the story. Let me start with this and say, Zacchaeus was a large man. Yeah, so that's not the story I learned in Sunday school. Well, hang tight. We're getting there. So we go in verse 1. It says in the very first verse that Jesus entered and passed through a city called Jericho. And behold, there was a man there who was named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans or the tax collectors, and he was rich. And he saw it. He was desiring to see Jesus and know who he was. But he could not for all the press or the crowd because he was little of stature. And so he ran up ahead, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree so we could see when Jesus came by because Jesus was passing that way. Jesus comes here to the place. He looks up and he saw him there in the tree. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry, and come on down for today I must abide at your house. So Zacchaeus made haste. He hurried up and he came down. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus received him, received Christ joyfully. Now the crowd in verse 7, when they saw all of this happen, they all murmured. And they started to say, and this was a common refrain in Jesus' ministry when he dealt with those less desirable. They started saying that he was going now to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Shame on him. And Zacchaeus, upon knowing about this murmuring, stood up and then said to the Lord, said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any person, any man, by false accusation, I will restore that fourfold." Upon that statement of faith, Jesus said to him, "This day, today, salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as this man also is indeed a true son of Abraham." And then we have the summary statement, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I promise you, every time you consider the story of Zacchaeus and you think about it, the thing that stands out the most, I would argue, is going to be the fact that he was short, right? He couldn't see over the crowd, and he climbed a tree. So then you're wondering, for me, what kind of cough syrup are you on right now? What kind of decongestant are you on right now? Because the Bible says he was short, and yet you started off saying he was big. What's wrong with you? So here's what I want to kind of point out as we start. The Bible says in the first verse that Jesus is now entering a place called Jericho, passing through a place called Jericho. Jericho was quite famous for its, I'm going to say, natural goods, okay? In particular, its balsam trees, very famous for that. And a lot of people traveled through Jericho. Every time you were headed up to Jerusalem, you're going to go through Jericho. And so this would be the ideal place for a tax collector to have a tax booth there where people are buying and selling to make sure the taxes are coming in and being sent to Rome. Now, as Jesus passes through Jericho, very busy little city, on his way to the cross, we're introduced in verse 2 to the man named Zacchaeus. And you say, why in the world was Zacchaeus there? He was not on vacation. He was at work. And the Bible says that his name was Zacchaeus, and he is described here as the chief among the publicans. Now, I love that archaic term, because every time I see publicans, I think about Republicans, and I say, we're the Democrats, independents. But that's not what it means. The verse there, and the word there, publican, was a term that meant basically a tax gatherer, kind of an IRS agent, tax collector. So the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus basically worked for the IRS. He was the one collecting taxes. But notice what it says. He's not just a tax collector. He was chief among the tax collectors. He had a very prominent position. More than likely, he had a bunch of other tax collectors under him. And some even describe Zacchaeus as the tax commissioner for the district of Jericho. Okay, that's why I say Zacchaeus was a large man. He was a big dog in this territory. Everybody knew Zacchaeus. And we all know this is the commissioner there of the revenue in Jericho. The dude has got wealth. He's prominent. Pretty big guy here in Jericho. Large dude. Now there's a couple problems with being a tax collector I've shared in the past when we looked at others. Number one, tax collector was hated by the general populace. And the reason for that is, as a tax collector, you are working for the hated Gentiles. You are working for the Roman Empire. And if you were a Jew working for the Gentiles, it was even worse. I want to tell you this, Zacchaeus, we hate you. Can't stand your guts. And every time we drive by and see Commissioner of the Revenue before on the office door, it makes us sick to our stomach. We can't stand what you do. But the second reason, they couldn't stand Zacchaeus, and they grumble and murmur. Every tax collector knew Rome set the tax rate. Okay, just like in King George County, Stafford County, City of Fredericksburg, wherever you may live, that local municipality, that local government is going to set the tax rate. Rome sets the tax rate. So Zacchaeus knows, and every tax collector knows, that with that tax rate, I have got to remit exactly the amount that they have said has to come in from my district. But what they would do, and you've probably heard this before, they would always add extra to the tax. And the people hated him for that. Anybody would hate him for that, but it was common practice. So they know that when we go to Zacchaeus' office and the other tax collectors, when we go there, we may not even know exactly what Rome is charging, but we know what that tax collector is going to charge us. He sends into Rome the part he's got to send in, and guess what he gets to do? He gets to pocket the rest. Now, when you do that, in case you haven't figured this out, when you cheat people out of money, until you get caught, you're pretty wealthy, right? And so the Bible says that Zacchaeus, as a chief, as a leader of the tax collectors, very clearly stated, says he was rich. Now here's why I'm going to start this story by saying, we all know the little short Zacchaeus, but I'm going to argue that in this context, symbolically speaking, he was a big dog. He was a big guy. He was a large figure, and everybody knew about Zacchaeus. Number one, Zacchaeus was a large man. And number two, with his position and prestige, he may have been a big dog. But physically speaking, he was a small man. And that really brings an interesting tidbit into the story. So we pick up in verse 3, and Zacchaeus is a tax collector. The Bible says that his desire here was to see who Jesus was. It seems to me in the story that Zacchaeus had heard a lot about him, and he'd gotten pretty curious. And it seems too that as Zacchaeus knows, Jesus is passing through Jericho. There's a very large crowd gathered. And Zacchaeus is like, why is there such a following? I've heard about the guy. I want to see him. I want to put my two eyes on him. I don't even know what he looks like. I want to see him. And I want to see what it's all about. So verse 3 says, he becomes curious. He wants to know who Jesus is. But the reason he could not see him with all the crowd is he was little of stature. Now, in our politically correct society, there was a time we would say that one person's tall and the other is short. And now all of a sudden, that's offending people. Did you realize everything we say today offends somebody? I'm getting so sick and tired of it, to tell you the truth, it's driving me crazy. I can't stand political correctness. Zacchaeus, I think, was a short little dude. I don't think he was proud of it, because you know what? In school, when it was time to choose players for your basketball team, guess what? Nobody chose Zacchaeus. Oh, come on, that ain't fair. I can't help it. That's just the way you were made. So Zacchaeus, the Bible says, is small of stature. Okay, he's kind of small of height, small in size. The little fellow realizes, when Jesus walks by, I can't see over the crowd, and I want to see him so bad. So the Bible says in verse 4, he got a plan. And I think it's a smart plan. He says, I'm going to run ahead of the crowd. Okay, I know they're coming this way. I'm going to run ahead of the crowd. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up there in that sycamore tree. And what's neat about that tree is it's not exactly what we in America identify as a sycamore tree. It was more called a fig mulberry tree. It produced figs, had leaves of a mulberry tree. It was kind of a weird concoction compared to what we think of today. But the key is, Zacchaeus knew the way a fig mulberry tree grows, the branches are kind of low to the ground. Now, I'll tell you this, I have never been a tree climber. Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't really like heights too much, to tell you the truth. And if I did climb a tree, I wouldn't go too far up. And if I did go, it better be a very strong, solid, wide branch, because I don't want to fall. Well, Zacchaeus knew, if I can just get ahead of the crowd, I know where the tree is located. If I can get there ahead of the crowd and they're coming this way, and I can climb up that bad boy in time, I can finally put my eyes on him. So he runs up ahead, climbs to the tree, so we can see exactly who this Jesus was. Now let's look at two things here that are kind of strange about Zacchaeus with a tree. It was very unbecoming for a leader, especially a man in that culture, to take off running. It wasn't right for a wealthy leader to do that. And it especially wasn't right for this wealthy leader and prominent man, large man in society, to not only take off running, but to then climb a tree like a young boy. It's a strange. This ain't right. Something is not right. If you walk by and you, I mean, I'm serious. If you walk by and you see this prominent kind of big man in society up a tree, it's going to probably make headlines tomorrow because we don't know what's wrong with him. Something has happened to Zacchaeus. He's lost his mind. He's going to, something's wrong with Zacchaeus, because basically this leader, when he knows Jesus is coming, he takes off running like a boy following a parade. His curiosity has got him. So he says, if I can just get up there to the tree. He's a large man. He's also a small man. But here's the key to the entire passage and encounter. He's a lost man. See, it doesn't matter how big you are in society, right? It doesn't matter how small you are in stature. If you do not know this Savior as your Savior, you are a lost person. So let's look at what happens. So now we pick up in verse 5. And Jesus gets there to the place where Zacchaeus has climbed up like a little boy. He looks up. He sees Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, guess what? You get on down that tree right now, because today I'm going to come visit you at your house. Now, I'm not sure that's exactly what Zacchaeus was expecting. But I'll tell you what's kind of ironic in this story. The one who was doing the seeking is now the one being sought. See, Zacchaeus runs ahead thinking now, I'm going to seek after him, and didn't realize when Jesus got there where he was already seeking after Zacchaeus. So he runs up and climbs up in the tree, and it's from this verse in verse 5 where we get that children's song. I honestly didn't know all the words to the songs. I just wasn't as familiar with it. But if you grew up in church and you came to this passage about Zacchaeus, I guarantee you are very familiar with the words of this song that says, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as a Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. That's coming from this passage. That's exactly what happened here. A wee little dude climbs up a tree. Jesus stops and says, hey, come on down. I'm going to your house. Okay, that's what happens. Now look how Zacchaeus responds to that. Zacchaeus in verse 6, he came down with haste, right? He responded immediately. And the Bible says when he came down there, he joyfully received Christ. Very interesting word that Luke uses here, to receive Christ. The key in any relationship with salvation and with God is to receive the gift of eternal life. And let me tell you why that kind of gets me excited. I'm going to take you back to another verse. I remember learning this verse years ago when I first got saved. And John chapter 1, the Bible makes it very clear that when Jesus came to this earth, came to His own people, the Jewish people, those who were His own, the Jewish people, did not receive Him. Right? The offer is there as your Messiah to receive Him or to reject Him. They did not receive Him by and large. But the Bible says, as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. The key here is receiving Him. It's a faith action of receiving and trusting what He has done on the cross. Now Luke is interesting because Luke uses that word here in verse 6 and says, when Zacchaeus came down, he came down in a hurry, and when he got down there at the base of the tree, the entire context says, he received Him joyfully. Now let me throw something out there that I think is kind of interesting at this point. When we first started this series, we looked at the encounter that Jesus had with a man named Levi. He was also known as Matthew. And the Bible says that Levi was, guess what? A tax collector. Now here's what's interesting about Levi. The Bible says that when Levi knew that there was going to be an encounter there with this man named Jesus of Nazareth, Levi gathered all the people of his same class to his house so they could hear. It seems to me that Levi had a burden and passion for his co-workers. And so what we wonder at this point is, is there some connection between Zacchaeus and Levi's conversion? Wouldn't it be something if Levi, oh my goodness, if Levi every night he put his head on his pillow, he prayed for Zacchaeus' salvation. Levi got saved and realized the difference it made in his life. So guess what he said? I got a good buddy named Zacchaeus. We're in the same trade. We're both crooked tax collectors. And if Jesus can change my life, I bet he can also change Zacchaeus' life. And I just wonder, possibly, had Levi been praying for Zacchaeus, and had he even been talking to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, let me tell you what happened in my life. And now he finds himself up a tree, ends up meeting Jesus. Let me go another direction with it. What about this? What if Levi gets saved, and he's talking with Jesus one day, and says, I want to tell you something. I've got a really good friend in Jericho. His name is Zacchaeus. And if it just so happens you're passing through Jericho, would you please look for Zacchaeus? I don't know for sure it happened that way, beloveds. But Levi was in the exact same trade as Zacchaeus, and he got all his friends together so he could let them know what had happened to him. So now we got the story here. Zacchaeus, tax collector. And Jesus said, come on down, and I'm going to spend time at your house today. Now here's a little note in verse 7. While this encounter was going on, we read that the crowd didn't like it. Bible says, when all the crowd saw that Zacchaeus was coming down and was going to head there too, or Jesus was headed there too, Zacchaeus' house. Now look at the word here. They all murmured. The root word there, Larry, the root word there is a word used for the buzzing of bees. Isn't it a horrible thing when people start buzzing like bees about something? I'm going to tell you this. When people start buzzing like bees about something, it's usually not in the right light. Right? We sometimes just flat out call that gossip. It's called buzzing, right? It's called murmuring. It's called grumbling. And these people look there. And I don't know if I'm right on this. I just wonder if when Zacchaeus came down that tree, if they watched every step he took, every step Jesus took, and they said, let me wait and see if he goes into his house. Why was going to the house a big deal? Because when you accept somebody into your home and you eat with them, it is a sign of fellowship and acceptance. And they're thinking, hold on, if this man is really from God, he's not going to spend time with this stinking sinner that's stealing money from everybody as a tax collector. So they started to buzz like bees. They started to murmur. And the Bible says in verse 7, they said, hey, he's going to be a guest with a man who's a flat out stinking sinner. Oh, now I think Zacchaeus sensed what was happening. So in verse 8, here's what Zacchaeus does. We get to verse 8, and there seems there's been a little interval now between his conversation with Jesus in the house and when he's aware of the grumbling. So the Bible says in verse 8 that after this interview and private interview he'd had, personal interview he'd had with Christ, he literally stood. I hadn't thought of this until just now, but I'm going to say this. In our society today, we need some believers who will stand. Right? We got too many sitting right now, and it's letting the world go the way it's going. And it's hard. It is hard. It is so hard to stand. Not that we don't want to, but we know when we stand, the fire is coming. Right? It's called persecution. Zacchaeus, in all this mumbling and grumbling and buzzing like bees, the Bible says, he stood. And here's what he does. He basically makes a personal statement of confession and repentance. So here's what he says. He says, now Lord, I want you to know something. I'm a changed man. Okay? As best we can tell in this interview he had with Christ, he became a believer. They received him. His life has been changed. So he says, here's a proof of it. I will give half of my goods, everything I own, my possessions, I will give to the poor. Right? I want people to know that my life has been changed. And if I have taken anything from any person by a false accusation, if I have defrauded anybody, I will restore what I have taken from them fourfold. Now, if you read in the law, what you find is, if you're guilty of theft and stealing from someone, you restore what was stolen and add one-fifth. 20%. And that's it. You're good to go. Here's what Zacchaeus says. Zacchaeus says, No. My life has so been changed. I'm not just going to add 20% to it. I'm going to go 400%. I'm going to give you four times what I've taken from you. Because my life has been so changed. So Lord, I'm telling you, if I've defrauded anybody, I will restore everything I've taken. Now, I want you to notice one more thing here. Zacchaeus' life to this point has been all about one thing. Getting. And when he got enough, he wanted to get some more. Now notice what happens in verse 8. Lord, because my life has changed, it's not so more I get, but now in verse 8 it is I give. I'm going to tell you what. Saving faith will always result in a changed life. Zacchaeus is a new man. He's a changed man. And unlike the rich young ruler who walked away sad and grieved because of all he owned, Zacchaeus says, I'll tell you what, I'll give half everything I got, and if I've wronged you, I'll give you four times back. Wow, what a difference it must have made in his life. So Jesus wraps it up in verse 9. It says, here's what's happened. Here's what you've seen. This day, salvation has come to this house. He is truly a son of Abraham. He's not only a physical descendant. He has exercised the exact same faith as Abraham has exercised. He is a spiritual descendant of Father Abraham. And notice something in this verse. Salvation has come to this house. I'm not going to stay here long because I ain't got time, but I just happen to believe when mama gets saved, it makes a difference in the house. When daddy gets saved, it makes a difference in the house. When brother gets saved, it makes a difference in the house. When sister gets saved, it makes a difference in the house. Notice here, salvation's come to this house. There's a change to this house because Zacchaeus has met Christ and everything has changed in his life and now it affects his home. And look at verse 10. This is the key verse of the entire Gospel of Luke. If you get on Jeopardy, say, hey, key verse, Gospel of Luke, here it is, 19 verse 10. The Son of Man, Jesus Himself, has come to seek and to save what was lost. That was Jesus' mission. Humanity as human beings, it says here, we are lost. That is the deplorable state of mankind. And so Jesus came to save the lost. And what was Zacchaeus? An example of one lost. That's why I say he was a large man. A dude had a lot of prominence. Big old tax collector, chief over all of them, commissioner of the revenue. But he was also a small man. Couldn't even see Jesus without climbing up a tree. But the key here is, he was a lost man. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Now let me give you one thing. We're going to be done here. Kind of connected. Somebody said years ago, and I think it's pretty neat to say this, the sycamore tree that he climbed up had been accustomed to producing a lot of figs. I'm going to tell you this, it had never produced precious fruit like it produced that day. The fruit in that tree that day, and here's what I want you to think about for just a minute, this is what I'm going to wrap it up with, this idea of this tree. This tree became a symbol for Zacchaeus of a changed life. It's there in that tree, from that tree where he first put his eyes on Jesus and his life was forever changed. Let me take you back 10 years. You may not care about this and that's fine, but I couldn't think of a better way of connecting this for us today. A few weeks ago, the professional golfers, unlike some of us who attempt, I'm going to tell you what, it's so frustrating. It can almost get you mad, almost make you sin. You try not to. But professional golfers don't have that issue. And about two, three weeks ago, they were in Georgia at the most famous golf tournament every year, major, called the Masters. 10-year anniversary, believe it or not, there's a golfer named Bubba. Now, you wouldn't think in the higher level elite status in society, there'd be a golfer named Bubba. But sure enough, there's a golfer named Bubba. Love Bubba. I just love his name. Left-handed dude, he's crazy. And 10 years ago, a few weeks ago, exactly 10 years ago, is the anniversary of one of the greatest shots that's ever been hit by a professional golfer in the Masters. It was hit by Bubba, 2012. And I'm not going to bore you with the details because it doesn't matter. But basically, he's standing, I think it was a 10th fairway playoff hole to win the entire Masters. He's standing off of the fairway in trees where he's basically done like the rest of us do, hit the ball in the trees that have been the fairway. He's in the trees there, in the pine straw. He's going to basically do this. He's going to somehow put enough spin on the ball to go like this and make it turn and end up over here where the green is at to win this playoff. Well, not many people could do it. But Bubba is a creative dude. So Bubba gets there and he swings his left hand. He swings and he puts a spin on that ball, which if mine ever spins, it's an accident. But he puts spin on that ball and that bad boy turned like this, rolls up onto the green and got about 15 or so feet from the pin. I think he makes a putt or a double, whichever, two putts, whatever, and wins the entire Masters. Greatest, one of the greatest shots ever in Masters history 10 years ago. Now here's what they did. The spot from which Bubba hit that ball became one of the greatest tourist attractions of the golf course. Because anybody who's attempted to hit that stupid white ball knows how hard it is, and especially make it go where you want it to go. So many people would come walk to that spot 2 years after he hit that shot. They planted a tree. This is a picture from about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, at the Masters. And somebody snapped a shot of the tree. This is what, about 8 years old, you know, planted a little tiny tree. And it's what's kind of called the Bubba tree. And patrons would walk by and just stand there and marvel, how in the world did he hit that ball from here and make it turn like he did and onto the green? Every time they walk by the tree, they remember exactly what happened 10 years ago. Zacchaeus too has a tree. And I don't know. I wonder as Zacchaeus was growing old. I wonder as he was aged, as he was turning white haired. I wonder if Zacchaeus was oftentimes found sitting under a particular sycamore tree. And at some point, people finally just had to flat out ask, Zacchaeus, what is it about that old tree? Every day we walk by, it seems like you're sitting under that tree. Zacchaeus, it almost seems like sometimes you touch that tree with a reverence that tree does not deserve. It's just a tree. And Zacchaeus, all through his life from this point, as he's older and white-haired and people are wondering what's wrong with the crazy old guy there with the tree, Zacchaeus shares a story. And he says, hold on, let me tell you about this tree. And Zacchaeus says, I want you to understand something. It was from that tree right there that I sit under all the time. It was from that tree that my eyes first saw my Savior. It was from that tree, as I'm there sitting on its limbs and branches, I'm looking there as he's coming by and I see him approaching. And from that spot right there in that tree, he looks up at me and says, come on down. And we have a conversation. I got saved. My life got changed. And it always takes me back to that tree. And I'm going to tell you what. You can go to Augusta Golf Course if you want to and look at the Bubba tree. And it marks what happened 10 years ago. And it's pretty neat. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing that will ever compare to this tree in Zacchaeus' life. There where he met Christ for the very first time. And everything changed his life. So let me ask you this question. Do you have a tree? See, your tree may not be a physical tree, but there needs to be something, right, in our lives where we know it was at this place in life. It's where I was in life, and it's at that place, that day, Jesus seeking the lost, I was lost, walked by and grabbed my heart and changed my life. And I want you to know something, it's there in that tree, symbolically speaking, there from that tree where everything changed from. You need to have a tree, right? Zacchaeus says, I've got a tree. And it changed everything. And so he's a large man, small man. He was a lost man. And I didn't put it up here. By the end of this encounter, he becomes a saved man. Oh, my two takeaways. I forgot about them. Let me say this quickly. Whatever would happen to Zacchaeus can happen to anybody who will just trust in Christ. That's how simple it is. You say, why do you say that? Well, here's my second takeaway for my reason. A seeking Savior is going to always find a sinner looking for a new beginning.
I love that, right?
It doesn't matter where you are in life, right? Big man, big lady, small man, small lady, no matter where you are in life, right? The seeking Savior is looking for those who are lost and those who are looking for a beginning. That's why Sarah's in Central Asia, right? That's why our missionaries are in Kenya. We're trying to find those who are lost and extend them an invitation to receive Christ. So that's the story of Zacchaeus. And we're going to close with that. So let's bow together as we do. And as we bow together, I'm going to give you an opportunity as we get ready to go. In light of the passage today with Zacchaeus, don't know where you are in life. I'm assuming that you're saved. I think you probably have a tree in your past. You know what happened there in your life where He called out to you and where He saved you. But just in case you don't, God's got you here today for a reason. He's seeking the lost. You've come in lost. I mean, you are flat out stinking lost. You're headed straight to hell. You know it. You're not fooling God. I promise you that. You know it. And I'm assuming we're all saved, but just in case, this is your invitation to receive Christ like Zacchaeus is referred to in the passage. And also, as we are praying and thinking about our passage, it may be that there's an issue of life that, again, has nothing to do with Zacchaeus being a wee little man and going up a tree, nothing like that, but just an opportunity to pray over an issue that you've got on your heart today. So I want you to do that. And then I think I'd be remiss because of technology. While everyone in this building may be saved and have no doubts about that, I know there's also others listening online to the message today. And so we want to say to you on behalf of our church family that if you've logged in, it may be the first time, and you're like, why in the world am I listening to a sermon from a church in King George? But I want you to understand something. Jesus is seeking the lost, whether it's in person or digitally speaking. So just in case you're listening online today, along with us as we are in this service, this is your opportunity to respond and to receive Christ and to confess that you are a sinner, that you've wronged God, you've wronged mankind, as Zacchaeus said, and you believe with all your heart He died on the cross for you and He can change your life radically as He works among the lost. So let's just spend some quiet time while I keep my mouth shut. You pray, you think, you reflect. Altar areas open if you need to come pray at the altar. And then I would simply close us with a quick amen and we'll be dismissed today. So Father, as we get ready to go, I thank You for hearing our prayers today. If there's any person at all, whether it's been digitally or here in person, who's responded to the offer of salvation, leave them to tell someone. And we pray for Your hand of protection and blessing upon their lives. You know to all other concerns that have been lifted to You in prayer. So Lord, would You intervene and work in those areas as we leave. Lord, please watch over us, heading back to our homes and other places we go. We're seeking Your blessings upon us in this upcoming week. Wisdom as we live for You, as we work among co-workers, as we meet with people during the week. And help us to be good ambassadors for Christ. So we close by thanking You for the sycamore trees in our lives, where we can look back and say, hey, it was right there. It was right there. Where I met Him, where He found me, and where I got saved. So bless us as we go. And we lift up our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.